endless men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you all made it through their concept of the new year. You know, when I heard that they had called Trump back to the big Black House early, I kind of thought that maybe they had another false flag plan, but I didn't hear anything else. So I guess nothing happened, at least nothing that we know right now. Well, I want to remind you all again that Kingdom Conference 2021 is just around the corner, and we're still planning, Lord willing, for the 18th through the 21st of what the world calls March. And we've got some folks who reserved a couple of rooms and have offered to combine into one. So it's possible that we've got another room that just came open, and if someone wants it. Now, if that someone is you, I mean, please let us know right away. And I doubt that it's going to stay available very long. And the conference is going to be held at the Maranatha Bible Camp and Retreat Center, which is just outside of Springfield, Missouri. The facilities are fantastic. And all we're asking you to do is just help with the expenses that the center charges us. They charge us for the rooms and the kitchen and the meeting hall. And then, Lord willing, we'll be providing the food again, and we'll only be asking for donations to help with those costs. And if you've got an issue with finances but you still want to come, I mean, don't let that keep you from coming. You can just let us know, and we may be able to help. If you can get here, then we also should be able to help with the rest. As I've said many times before, perspective matters greatly. Well, I think perspective means everything. When someone is reading the Word, listening to the Word, and preaching the Word, for instance, the, quote, church world is filled with, quote, preachers who were once members of the U.S. military. I mean, these are people who swore oaths, I mean, volunteered to give their lives to die, to have their arms blown off, their legs blown off. I mean, they swore to defend the U.S. Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic. I mean, they went to, quote, Bible college and had their, quote, educations paid for by VA loans or grants. When that man preaches Romans 13 or 1 Peter 2 or 1 Timothy 2 or Titus 3, what do you think their perspective or understanding of those passages is going to be? Are they going to be preaching the Bible from the perspective that God has ordained man's little g governments and that they're to be obeyed? Well, what about the preacher who was or is a, quote, policeman, like the one in Rosedale, Ohio, that we heard about in the news this past week? I mean, this cop, who is also a, quote, Baptist preacher, is a 17-year police veteran who served in the Iraq War with a Marine Reserve unit that suffered extensive casualties. I mean, what is his perspective of the scriptures going to be? Is he going to see it differently? Is he going to preach it differently than, say, a preacher who believes that the U.S. little g government, with its constitution that says this constitution and our laws and our statutes and our treaties shall be the supreme law of the land? Is he going to see that that is actually in place to war against the kingdom of Christ with its laws and its statutes and its treaties that are clearly 100% diametrically opposed to the teachings of the Bible, of Christ, of the apostles? Look, one preacher is going to be right, at least on, say, the subject of Romans 13, and the other's going to be wrong. And I realize that both of them could be wrong. And as far as religion, as quote, church goes, I'd say that the chance of both of them being wrong would be great. But I've been preaching that vaccines are a violation of the Sixth Commandment prohibition against adultery. I preach that anything that alters or even attempts to alter the natural state that God intended is the sin of adultery. Now, when the state is pushing vaccinations, trying to force those on people, what preacher's going to be preaching against it and what preacher's going to be preaching for it? It's very obvious. How about the preacher who doesn't believe that putting DNA, altering substances in your body, or putting the cells of aborted babies in your body is abominable, such as this one? Let's listen to what this preacher has to say.
President Trump calling the coronavirus vaccine a Christmas miracle. Just 10 days since the vaccination campaign began, more than 1 million Americans got their first dose in the last couple of weeks. But a new USA Today Suffolk University poll shows a fifth of those surveyed would not take the shot if it were available to them today. So, should community leaders and faith leaders do more to encourage people to get vaccinated? Joining us now, senior pastor at the First Baptist Church in Dallas and Fox News contributor Robert Jeffress. Good morning, Pastor Jeffress, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Nicole.
Now, it has been a devastating year, 2020, and as you know, people of faith and those looking for faith look to their faithful leaders such as yourself to give them some advice. And as we have been in the dark ages of the 2020, to get to that renaissance in 2021, we need as many Americans as possible to get the vaccination. So what is your message to your community and those around you? Do you believe that you should help in getting people to understand the benefits of this vaccine?
Absolutely, Nicole. You know, for the past 10 months, millions of Americans have been praying to God, asking for relief from this pandemic. And I believe God has answered that prayer through these vaccines. I'm calling these vaccines an early Christmas present from God. And it shouldn't surprise us that God would use science to bring healing into our world. I mean, after all, in the past, people like Isaac Newton and Blaise Pascal and Louis Pasteur were all not just men of science, but men of faith who believed God created this world in an orderly way that could be studied and benefited from.
Oh, brother. I mean, this is what churchianity gives us. This is what churchianity represents. God wants his people to obey him no matter what the circumstances that man finds himself in. No matter what anyone else around him is doing, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. If a vaccine could prevent you, as a follower of Christ, from dying from some dread disease, but that vaccine alters DNA, it contains ingredients that God said you are not to put in your body, then brethren, if it's a choice between the vaccine or 100% certain closing of the eyes for good, then we better choose the latter. God didn't say, thou shalt not commit adultery, then thou shalt not adulterate my creation unless circumstances arise that make it necessary. That's called the ends justify the means. And for the followers of Christ, it should not be said about us. Well, Pastor Jeffress, will you support mandatory vaccines for people entering the grocery store?
Absolutely, Nicole.
Well, Pastor Jeffress, would you support mandatory vaccines for people entering your church building?
Absolutely, Nicole.
Well, Pastor Jeffress, would you be in favor of putting people in jail who refuse to be forced to commit adultery in the name of the state?
Absolutely, Nicole.
Well, Pastor Jeffress, will you support a digital world currency so that we can track, so that we can get rid of that virus-carrying money?
Absolutely, Nicole.
Do I believe that COVID-19 is judgment of God upon the world? No, I do not. Why? Well, first of all, because it doesn't even exist. And I'll say that over and over and over. It doesn't exist. It's made up. It wasn't made up in Wuhan, China. It wasn't made in a military lab in North Carolina. It was made up in the minds of some really, truly sick people like Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, Donald Trump, and people like that. It was designed to bring about some major events that I believe could occur, probably will occur, in 2021 that are designed to alter the course of humanity, hurtling headlong toward a new world order, and every single bit of it is made up. People are not dying like they say. Hospitals are not overflowing like they say. In the news lately has been the unleashing of a second wave of the quote virus that's just disintegrating England, they say. But funny thing, a lady posted a video this week of her walking through a completely empty hospital in England. Then she posted the video along with some very pointed comments, and she got promptly arrested for it. So, no, it's not the judgment of God because it doesn't exist. But I'll tell you what the judgment of God is. All right, we've looked at this before. We need to look at it again. The principles contained in this chapter are eternal principles. They're generational, and they extend beyond the old covenant world and into the new world. These principles teach us the mind and will of God. They teach us the nature of God. This is what God wants for his people. This is what he wanted us to learn from the old covenant system. He wanted it then. This is before the days when they demanded a, quote, king like all the other nations, and he wants it now in the new covenant world. This is what God wants for his people. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse number 1. I'll give you just a second to get there. I want you to see this chapter. After we leave this chapter, we're going to go through several other places in the scripture. So I want you to leave your finger in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and because we're going to come back to it. But Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahweh thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I commanded thee this day, that Yahweh thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. All right, stop for just a second. To observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. Okay, so this means that we shouldn't be drinking. We shouldn't be cussing. We shouldn't be smoking and dancing and going to the movies. If we observe not to do those things, then we're fine with God. But when it comes to obeying men's little g governments, this is where the rubber meets the road, who have told us that we are to have numbers and IDs and licenses and social security systems and pay taxes on labor and get vaccinations and follow the scientists and vote for the wicked, then, well, that is also the will of God for his people. In fact, vaccinations that have DNA altering potentials and aborted baby cells and God knows what else are actually God's Christmas present to his creation. Really? Goodness. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy God. Did you catch that? And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy God. It's almost as if you obey God, you don't have any choice. The blessings are going to flow. The blessings are going to overtake you if you obey the commandments of God. Who is it that told people by the voice of the quote preacher who received between $2 and $5 million, at least that's what was reported, from the coronavirus scam, got between $2 and $5 million directly from the U.S. government, that the coronavirus vaccine is a blessing from God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, this is verse 3, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Yahweh shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Yahweh shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which Yahweh thy God giveth thee. Yahweh shall establish thee in holy people unto himself. Boy, it sounds a lot like 1 Peter 2, doesn't it? As he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of Yahweh thy God and walk in his ways. So the modern, quote, preacher in America today is telling people that the coronavirus vaccine is the gift of God. And science is great that's come up with the vaccine. And Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 9 has absolutely no value and is not binding on anyone today because God has done away with his commandments. If his commandments are done away with, then we just all walk in our own ways and do our own thing with our own laws, with our own treaties, and our own constitutions. And I'm telling you today that if we knew the mind and will of God like we should know it, none of us, not a single one of us who claim Christ, would be citizens of men's little g governments today. Where is the command in Scripture for God's people to forsake his commandments, his laws, his statutes and judgments, and follow man's? Do we really not know any better? I want you to keep your finger here, please. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 58, and we're going to begin in verse 1. Now, before we read Isaiah 58, I'm going to give you fair warning. This is the specific passage of Scripture that the Missouri Highway Patrolman took so much offense to that he told me that he had taken it as a personal challenge to make sure I spent the rest of my life in prison. And I would certainly hope that you'd be wanting to see what this is. Here it is. It's verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Do you see what's going on here? When you put yourself in Isaiah's shoes for just a minute, God has told Isaiah to cry aloud, spare not, scream it like a trumpet, yell it from the rooftops. Let all the house of Jacob know that there's a problem. He says, show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Why? Because they didn't even know what they were doing was wrong. And I'm telling you today, there are people around this world today who call themselves followers of Christ, even sincere seekers, sincere followers, and they don't even know that the lifestyle that they have learned from their schools, from their parents, from their, quote, preachers, their lifestyle has caused them to be separated from their God, and they don't even know it. I've told you before, I had a conversation with another cop years ago. And when I told him that I was a missionary from the Commonwealth of Israel, he misunderstood me. And when I told him that I was a missionary to Israel, to America from Israel, he said, well, we don't need missionaries. To which I responded that America was probably the largest mission field in the world today, in a desperate need of a savior. And surprisingly, somewhat to me, he agreed. We live a life that's contrary to the teachings of Scripture, and we don't even know it. Verse 2, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. I mean, look at this. These people, this house of Jacob that God was having Isaiah scream to, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. But these were religious people. I believe the context here says that they were sincerely religious. They weren't just playing church. They sought him daily. They delighted to know his ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They take delight in approaching to God, but something was terribly wrong. Something was very, very wrong. And God raised up Isaiah to show these people the error of their ways. Verse 3, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge. We fasted, we pray, we afflict our souls. We're in misery because we can't figure out what it seems like that God has turned his back on us for. We have sought you, but you take no knowledge. And then the answer comes. Behold, don't just skip over that word. Don't take that word for granted. Whenever you see this word in Scripture, you've got to know that something big is coming. Mary, behold, you're going to have a baby. No way, it isn't possible. Yes, behold, a virgin shall conceive. This is a really big thing. House of Jacob, God raised up Isaiah to show you that you've got a really big problem. So big that it required the use of the word behold. Pay attention. Fix your eyes, your heart, your mind on this, because I'm going to tell you what God said your problem is. All the while you think you're sincerely following God, you're fasting, you're afflicting your soul. But behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. I've told you before that when I read that for the first time, the first time I guess that impacted me, maybe even the first time I ever read it. I think I was about 19 or 20 years old, and I looked at the answer, and I was just more confused than ever. I would think that Isaiah would have told them that they were involved in something really bad, like murder or adultery or taking vaccines or homosexuality or something really bad like that. But no, the answer was that they were exacting labors. Well, good grief, what in the world did that mean? Well, I never heard this in a, quote, church. I was never taught this in a, quote, Bible college. I was taught this, though. If you don't know what a word means, you go get a dictionary. Okay, the Webster's 1828 is the closest thing I can find to the English from 1611, which is the Bible that I typically read from. So that's where I went. Webster says this concerning the word exact, as in exact all your labors, Isaiah 58. It means to force or compel to pay or yield, to demand or require authoritatively, to extort by means of authority or without pity or justice. It is an offense for an officer to take illegal or unreasonable fees. It is customary for conquerors to exact tribute or contributions from conquered countries, to demand of right, princes exact obedience of their subjects. The laws of God exact obedience from all men, to demand of necessity, to enforce a yielding or compliance, or to enjoin with pressing urgency. Well, how about, since the word exact came from the Hebrew, let's take a Strong's Concordance and look up the definition there. Well, it's 5065 in Strong's, and it's nagos. It means to drive an animal, a workman, a debtor, an army, by implication, to tax, harass, tyrannize, distress, driver, exact or oppress, raiser of taxes, taskmaster. No, God didn't raise up Isaiah at that particular moment to show God's people their terrible sins of murder or adultery or vaccination or homosexuality. He raised up Isaiah to tell his people of their terrible sin of taxing labor. Labor is the centerpiece of life. Without labor, life does not exist. And it's not just for the men. Women, what do? They labor at the start of life. Life does not exist without labor. So God said, you do not tax labor. It's simple. A man labors so that he can put food on the table. But a man also labors to make a better life for his family. And there's nothing wrong with that. So long, of course, as he stays within God's boundaries for doing so. Labor is a good thing. And it's the intention of God. It's the will of God. It's the nature of God for a man to be blessed as a result of his labor. And God says, you better not tax a man's labor. If you tax a man's labor, I will not hear your prayer. Now, why do you think I never heard about that in the 501c3 government church? Because the 501c3 government church is the extension of the state. It cannot preach Isaiah 58, 1 through 3. It can't do it. It won't do it. Look, this is one major reason why the world is in the shape it's in. Taxing labor is total rebellion to the Creator. God's people should have said no a long, long time ago. But the problem is, you've got churchmen like Robert Jeffress, who've been in the pocket of men's little g governments, assuring people that it's the gift of God. It's like a Christmas present to rebel against the will of God. Nothing wrong with a little tax on labor here and there. No problem. God's okay with it. If the statement about the con being the supreme law of the land, what's almost as bad as that is their 16th Amendment, where they took the power to lay and collect taxes from whatever source derived. How dare they make such a statement? Where were the true men of God when these blasphemers adopted such a thing? Maybe they were out busting stills and preaching against cigarettes and girls wearing pants. I don't know. But in addition to preaching against drunkenness and defiling our bodies with cigarettes, they should have been screaming from the rooftops like Isaiah was, that taxing labor will separate you from your God. And to those who would come against these truths by spouting that this is, quote, Old Testament, I'd remind people again of James chapter 5, while James chapter 4 rails against citizenship in the world. James 5 again, just like Isaiah, rails on taxing a man's labor. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped up treasure together for the last days. Behold, there's the word again. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. I'm telling you that labor is the centerpiece of all society, and God hates it when men tax other men's labor. Godly governments, God-ordained governments, yes, it does require financial support to punish evil and praise good, but you've got to find other ways to raise that support than directly taxing a man's labor and then threaten to take things away from him if he refuses to pay. Nagos says it's tyranny, and our God is not a God of tyranny. Keeping the commandments of God is not about drinking, smoking, and cussing. The Lord of Sabaoth, look it up. It means the military epithet of God. Sabaoth is used, it's just used one other time in the last 27 books of the Bible, and that's in Romans 9 when Paul was talking about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Taxing labor makes God so angry that he wants to declare war. And I'm telling you, young people today, find a way to make a living without being part of a system that taxes your labor. You older people, it's not too late for you. I know some of you may think it is, but trust God. Trust and look for him to provide you a way out. Hey, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is what God is talking about in Deuteronomy 28. These are the commandments of God, knowing that men who are trying to build their rebellious little g governments will purposely look for ways to legislate God out of people's lives. Man's little g governments have purposefully legislated against the laws of God. And the sooner we realize this, the sooner we can educate our generation and turn the hearts of the people back to the God of the Bible. Men's little g governments have been doing this for a long, long time. They know what they're doing. I want you to keep your finger there in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 6. We've seen this before. We need to look at it again. Daniel chapter 6, verse number 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. We've talked about that before. What was that excellent spirit that was in him? Well, it's because he knew the commandments of God. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Look, we know the rest of the story. These wicked men devised a scheme where they convinced the king to pass a law that they knew Daniel could not, would not obey. That's what they do. They did it back then. They still do it today. Thank God for the example of Daniel. That example was good back then. It's still good today. Daniel's example is still good in the new covenant world. Now, back to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 10. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of Yahweh, and they shall be afraid of thee. And Yahweh shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which Yahweh sware to thy fathers to give thee. Yahweh shall open unto thee his good treasure in the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And Yahweh shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of Yahweh thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I commanded thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Again now, let's not think of gods as little carved idols from elephant tusks sitting in the huts of deep, dark Africa. That's not what gods means. It means rulers, judges, and magistrates. Today, because of legislation, the society that surrounds nearly every single one of us listening to me preach today has rulers, judges, and magistrates that are not followers of God or his Christ. Now, I may not be able to tell you exactly what God's government is supposed to look like on this earth today, but I can certainly tell you what it's not supposed to look like. If no one else will be a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel around you, then go on and be like Daniel and be the only one. Well, I've wondered where everyone else was in Daniel's time. Why is Daniel the only one mentioned? What was everyone else doing? If you're the only one that comes out from among them to be separate, then be that one. Be like Daniel. He's a great example. Verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed thou shalt be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Yahweh shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Could a coronavirus be a curse from God? Well, absolutely it could be. If one exists, it could be. Verse 21, Yahweh shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. Yahweh shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. Again, could sickness be a curse from God? Well, absolutely it could be. It isn't always, but it certainly could be. Is the coronavirus a curse from God? No, it doesn't exist. Could a virus or sickness be a curse from God? Well, yes. But does America's sodomite-loving society deserve a curse from God? Does an America that, quote, taxes from whatever source derived deserve to be cursed from God? Well, sure. Well, friends, I want to say something for just a second about those who I hear say things like, well, I hope God destroys America, or I hope God destroys England. You better be careful. I think we should be more hopeful that God would use us to bring repentance. I mean, don't forget, most of us live here too. and it rains on the just and the unjust. Now, verse 23, and thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. Yahweh shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. Yahweh shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. Thou shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. That concept doesn't give me the warm and fuzzies. It makes me want to stand for God and his laws even more. It makes me want to be a committed citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel even more. Verse 26, and thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. Yahweh shall smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. All right, now we're going to come to verse 28. Is the coronavirus a curse from God? No, it's not. It doesn't exist. But is the world today, not just America, is the world today being cursed by God and going through judgment? Oh, you better believe it. I see it every single day, everywhere I go, and it's getting worse. I wish I didn't have to say that. And the reality is, it may have to get worse still before or if it gets better, because the people will not obey God's laws, commandments, statutes, judgments, and his perfect will. Verse 28, Yahweh shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore. And no man shall save thee. Wow, every single day we're seeing this more and more. People are insane. And they're almost all totally insane. Teresa and I used to guess about how many people were wearing a mask and how many people were not. We'd kind of go back and forth. You know, she'd say 80-20 and I'd say 50-50. It was hard to say sometimes, and depending where you were, the numbers would vary. But now it's easy. I mean, at least where we go, and that's usually like Aldi's grocery store and sometimes Lowe's, you know, places like that. But and now it seems like 95% masked versus non-mask. I mean, they say nothing but how the number of cases is just going higher and higher and higher. But people, almost every single person is wearing their face diaper. But the numbers continue to rise. December, they said, the most fatalities in a single month. But more people are wearing face diapers than ever. And people, it seems like hardly anyone is questioning it. Then what little resistance I see now, the people that claim to be resisting the masks and the stay-at-home stuff and all that, well, you watch their rallies and they're wearing masks. The phony politicians who give lip service to the agenda, I see them with masks. Then hear about them getting a vaccine. Telling you that the judgment of God is not the phony pandemic virus. That does not exist, but it's the insanity that is seen everywhere from this belief in the fake virus. Americans will believe anything and everything that they're told to believe. It is truly crazy. In March of 2020, Fauci was all over the news telling people that there was no need to wear a mask. Now you hear nothing but the mask. Wear the mask. Social distance. I saw a photo of an airport terminal the other day, and people were standing well apart from each other while they were checking in. I mean, had their masks on, you know, the whole nine yards. But then minutes later, they're crammed into the airplane side by side, and no one questions the narrative. That's because they're insane. They've lost their minds. They've lost their ability to think. There's some fake news going on around right now. And someone sent me something that said, Fauci said people that died in the Spanish flu outbreak in 1918 died from wearing masks. Well, that's not what he said. But what he did say was this. And I've got the exact article that he signed on to from 2008. I'll put it on the website. He said that people did not die from the Spanish flu in 1918. He said they died from developing bacterial pneumonia after they contracted the Spanish flu, quote, virus. Well, in the vernacular of the kids today, duh. I mean, when you're sick, God designed your body to expel the sickness from several places in your body, mainly your mouth and your nose and another part to be named later. Prevent the sickness from getting out. Trap the sickness so that it can go right back in the body. Well, that's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. And that is exactly what Fauci said in his 2008 study of the Spanish flu. Well, how do you think those people contracted bacterial pneumonia? Again, duh. I mean, but these people, because they're totally insane, either can't see or hear what they themselves are saying, or worse, they actually want people to be sick than die. Was that even possible? Well, just read the article for yourself and you'll see that Fauci said people died from bacterial pneumonia, not from the Spanish flu virus. Wearing a mask is rebelling against the laws of God. All right, you know, if you go back and listen to my very early messages on all this propaganda, you'll hear me say over and over and over that it is a sin to wear a mask when you're not sick. Well, if God designed your body to expel sickness from your mouth and your nose, then maybe it's also rebellion against God to wear the mask when you're sick. Look, I know this. According to Fauci and the other quote scientists that signed on to the article, it doesn't take a whole lot of math to add two and two together. I've got some sickness. My body wants to get it out. If I put something on me to trap it, then have it re-enter my body after my body has expelled it, well, maybe that's just not such a good idea. Well, I've also put on the website's Corona Hoax page an article about the rising cases of bacterial pneumonia that are taking place in America right now. But of course, as we all know, there's a 100% cure rate from bacterial pneumonia, cancer, heart attacks, car wrecks, gunshots, because absolutely no one gets sick anymore and no one dies anymore from anything other than COVID-19. COVID-19 has replaced every cause of death known to mankind. I've also put articles on the website that provide now the non-existent statistics for the flu. In 2018, they said about 40 million people in the U.S. contracted the flu. Now, the numbers are so low, they're not even keeping track. That's amazing how that works. Well, friends, to believe these lies is a telltale sign of insanity. The quote scientists have always said, well, it takes 10 years to develop a quote safe vaccine. Well, oxymoron alert. Boy, is that named appropriately. But here's a vaccine that's fast tracked. Just a few months, supposedly. And people are going nuts. I mean, of course, it's probably a lie since it's on the news, maybe. But supposedly, 90-year-old people in Florida stayed in line all night long to make sure they could get their shot. Wow, people are nuts. Bill Gates has made no bones about it. He's been very open and vocal about depopulating the world and doing it with vaccines. And this new vaccine admits it has no study whatsoever as to whether it causes infertility. But again, for the follower of Christ, and hopefully those of you who are listening have been nonconformists, this issue is not so much about the ingredients themselves per se or the side effects. Well, I guess that's not totally accurate. I mean, when the ingredients and the side effects result in adultery, then the child of God has got to say no. This is why I was so adamant with you many months ago about not wearing a mask. The mask was a little something compared to what I felt was coming. And that was the vaccination. I felt like if we weren't able to be faithful in the little things, then we wouldn't be faithful in the big things. Oh, well, I'll never take the vaccine. Well, did you take the mask? The mask was a little thing. What about if they really decide to enforce that you can't leave your house or go to the store or go to work or whatever if you can't prove you had the vaccine? It's being faithful in the little things. If we had been citizens of the Commonwealth of Israel all along, a long time ago, if we had been taught that our citizenship is only supposed to be in the nation of God, and had we obeyed, I really don't believe our generation would be where it is today. So now that we know, we've got to start living accordingly. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. And that principle is as good today as it was when Samuel told Saul that hundreds of years ago. This week, I received an email from a dear listener in the Philippines. And what she said, well, I admit it was a little hurtful. Not what she said, but she's been nothing but a blessing. And I am encouraged every time I hear from her. But she said that she had given my book to someone that meets with their group to discuss the scriptures, and my book just wasn't well received by this person. The comment that it seems like he really hates government. Well, I can certainly see how someone who's not listened to me preach very much might say that. But the truth is, it's not so much as a hatred of men's little g governments, though that certainly is true, but it's that I'm calling people out of men's little g governments and into the only God-ordained government in the new covenant world. Everyone wants to read the Bible and find their, quote, nation in it. In the U.S., so many people are so desperate to find America in the Bible, but it's just not there. You have to make all these interpretations and hypotheses and assumptions in order to do so. The Bible is a book about Israel. It's written by Israelites, to Israelites, for Israelites, by the God of Israel. And someone needs to show me somewhere where God has told people that claim to follow him that they're to be flag-waving, proud citizens of, quote, nations that are not of Israel. It isn't there. I've quoted Ephesians chapter 2 so many times in my messages, and I've tried to answer all the different opinions and even objections. Whether a man believes that he can trace his physical lineage to Abraham or whether he sees no value in trying to do so, the passage of Scripture says, those without Christ at that time were strangers and aliens to the Commonwealth of Israel. But when you come to Christ, when you are in Christ, you are now no longer strangers, no longer foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. The book is still about being Israel. And for the life of me, I've been studying the book for more than 50 years, and I can't see anywhere, not a principle, not a guess, not an assumption, no stretch anywhere where God tells his people, where Christ tells his followers to be flag-waving, pledge-reciting, oath-keeping, law-abiding, vaccine-taking citizens of the nations of this world. So that is considered to be hatred for men's little g governments, then I guess there's not much I can do about it. Men's little g governments are in the business of legislating God out of their societies, and I think it's wrong. And I think we, as followers of Christ, are to follow his voice and his alone. We're not to follow scientists. We're not to follow politicians. We are to follow Christ. We're to be 100% fully immersed into Christ, his teachings, his father's laws, his father's will, and we're not supposed to bow to or to submit to anything other than Christ. Somehow the county health department has become the final authority on health. Have we forgotten that our king was once called the great physician? Can you honestly, with a straight face, tell me that Christ would have gone down to the local health department and rolled up his sleeve to take their vaccine? Their DNA-altering, aborted baby cell-containing vaccine? He wouldn't have gone to the health department because he's the health department. How is that so offensive? How can someone who also claims to be a follower of Christ be offended at this? Again, it's easy, it's perspective. The Baptist, quote, preacher cop ex-military SWAT member is going to see it totally different. And in this case, absolutely, one perspective is right and the other is wrong. You can't have it both ways. In closing this morning, I want to respond to another email. I think it's going to benefit a lot of other people as well. Last week, we read from Revelation chapter 18. And yes, absolutely, it absolutely looks like America in Revelation chapter 18. But it also looks like England. And if someone lives in Australia, they might say the same thing. Revelation 18 is what all nations who refuse to submit to the king will eventually look like. But this is why we've got to stay faithful to the truth that Revelation 18 is not being fulfilled today. When Revelation 18 was being fulfilled in the first century, we need to understand that there was absolutely nothing those people could have done about the impending judgment, the impending destruction, the pestilence, the disease, the torture, the destruction, the one world government, the one world currency, all that. There's nothing they could do about it because they were living in the generation that was fulfilling Bible prophecy. Their very existence had been foretold hundreds of years earlier. This was the plan of God for that century, and there was nothing they could do about it. For those that did escape, they did so because Christ told them, when you see these things start to happen, flee the city and head to the mountains. And the ones that did were saved. The events that took place in the first century, the destruction of Jerusalem, the temple, could not, would not be changed. There was nothing that could change the prophesied outcome. And today, even though America looks like Revelation 18, America is not fulfilling Bible prophecy to the point where there's nothing we can do to change the outcome. We can see change by our obedience to Christ, by our conforming to the scriptures. Nations can be turned, rebellions can be quashed, kingdoms can be brought down and brought to obedience of the king. But it requires our obedience. Judgment begins at the house of God. Judgment begins at the commonwealth of Israel. God's people must return to him. We must be a light. And even more so today, we must be salt. We must be an irritant. We must stand in the way. We can't just sit by and watch it all burn. The insane are running the asylum. Yes, but God's people must stay faithful to our king. I'm telling you, come out from among them and be separate. Very well could have been a lot easier 20, 30, 40 years ago. I wish more would have come out 30 years ago. I believe it was easier then. But the command from God is still the same. I absolutely believe there are evil men out there who have taken God's word and have twisted it into things it's not intended for the purpose of making people believe that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled today. Yes, it's for the purpose of creating complacency. And they've done it. And they've done it well. They've given the modern, quote, preacher tax-exempt status and the tax-deductible gift. And in exchange for the preacher preaching this diabolical message of obedience to those who have legislated God out of most people's lives. That's why they've done it. But I believe that the message I preach, that by coming out from among them and being separate, offers the greatest amount of hope for our critically impaired generation. Yes, God can do a lot with a little, but he works through his people. I've said before that it was said of his apostles that these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. I've pointed out that the world turning those apostles did was quite possibly accomplished in a short period of time. And that I believe and will have great hope in. It's an eternal generational principle that transcends the old covenant world, and it's a promise and a hope even for our generation. We can bring about change when we obey. Stand fast, brethren, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in that bondage.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com.
You are listening to Missouri Liberty Radio. Talk and news analysis, Kingdom of God preaching, and Christian music exalting the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.